Beloved, welcome to worship. It's wonderful to be here with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in today's call to worship. The prophets of old spoke of God's justice even when it was unwelcome. Who will hear their message? We will listen and we will hear. Responding to God's call, Jesus traveled, preaching and teaching all who would listen. Who will hear his message? We will listen and we will hear. Christ sent out disciples two by two to spread the good news in any place that would welcome them. Who will hear their message? We will listen and we will hear. God's prophets are among us still, around the world and in these pews. Who will hear their message? We will listen and we will hear. And as we listen, let's focus in on Jesus Christ, who is the center of all. Let's light the Christ candle. Let's pray together. God of grace and powerful weakness, at times your prophets were ignored, rejected, belittled, and unwelcome. Trusting that we too are called to be prophets, fill us with your Spirit and support us by your gentle hands, that we may persevere in speaking your word and living our faith. Amen. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. You know how stubborn we can be, Holy God. You call us to serve others, and we stay in the coolness of our own homes. You would send us to where the hopeless live, but we are reluctant to leave the comfort of our complacency. You would feed us on the peace and joy of your word, but we pull our chairs up to the tables of those who serve false promises. Forgive us, guiding God. Transform our defiance into discipleship and our rejection of others into the resurrection of welcoming all people as sisters and brothers in Christ. Help us to love as faithfully as you have always loved us, and send us forth to take the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone we meet. Amen.
Do you feel it? God's tender mercy rests on you, heals you, transforms you. Do you see it? God's light breaks into our lives and shows us the way. Renewed and made whole, we see the path God has prepared for us. The way of peace, the way of hope, the way of grace, the way of service. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading this morning is taken out of the New Revised Standard Version. It's Mark 6, verses 1 to 13, the rejection of Jesus at Nazareth. He left that place and came to his own hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all of this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet and as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of the Lord.
So the governor of Massachusetts was running hard for re-election and arrived late one day for a barbecue, and having had no breakfast or lunch, he was really, really hungry. As he moved through the serving line, he held out his plate and received one piece of chicken. And the governor said to the server, "Excuse me, do you mind if I have another piece of chicken? I'm really hungry." And the woman serving the chicken replied, "Sorry, I'm supposed to give one piece to each person." "But I'm starved," pleaded the governor, and again she replied, "One per customer." Now the governor was normally a very modest man, but he decided the situation warranted the full weight of his office. "Madam, do you know who I am? I am the governor of the state." The server replied, "Sir, do you know who I am? I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Now move along." The woman had a very healthy self-concept. She knew exactly who she was, and she understood the power in her identity. Staying with the hospitality theme, my wife and I recently went out for coffee, and Keitha ordered her favorite, a medium-strength latte. Carefully explaining how strong she wanted it, asking just enough questions to reassure her that the young man understood his craft. He delivered it to our table with great pride, exclaiming, "It's excellent." And Keitha tried it, and it was excellent. Better than anticipated, better than hoped for. But then the young man already knew that. The young man knew his product, and he knew it was good, even that it was excellent. Like the lady with the chicken, he presented himself and his product with an attitude that says, "I'm responsible for this job. I've been given the authority to do it, and I will do it well. At this moment in time, this is my calling. This is my destiny." In our gospel reading, Jesus is trying to instill this same attitude in his disciples. He's holding a serving it right workshop with them. Unable to exercise his ministry in his hometown, amazed at the unbelief of friends and neighbors, Jesus has left his own hometown and gone out into the countryside to do his work there. He called the disciples together and began to send them out two by two, giving them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey but a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. They were to wear sandals and only take the tunic on their back. And he gave them instructions for hospitality, the simple instructions. He said, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the village. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out in pairs, casting out demons, and anointed the sick with oil and healed them. Jesus had learned something from his own experience of being rejected in his own hometown, and he shared this learning with the disciples before he sent them out. It formed the basis for his serving it right approach to ministering among people. Now, Jesus' rejection in his hometown wasn't based on doubt that their hometown boy could heal. His friends and relatives agreed he was a pretty fair preacher and healer. What they couldn't allow was that his authority and power came from God. Surely God saw this man just as they did, a carpenter. God's authority would surely be reserved for someone else. God's power reserved for someone else, someone with better credentials, better lineage, better family. But a carpenter, a son of Joseph and Mary? The people of the old hometown lacked faith that the power of God was at work in this carpenter. They were not sure where his power came from. They just knew that it wasn't from God. In sending out his disciples, Jesus must have been able to convey to them a strong sense that their power to preach and to heal came from God, and their authority to do so came from Jesus. Jesus told them to travel in pairs, showing they're part of a larger faith community as opposed to individuals on a mission. A staff, one pair of shoes, one set of clothing. That would set the disciples apart from the others that folks were used to seeing, the philosophers, astrologers who traveled in the area. No money, no food, showed they were fully dependent upon God in their work, and they would survive on the goodwill of others and would not accept payment for their labors. Stay in one home only in each village, avoiding the appearance that they were seeking undue comforts or taking advantage of the people's hospitality. And when they were not welcomed in a village, move on after removing every speck of that village's residue from their sandals and their being. Their ministry is to be the ministry of Jesus. They know who they are and what they are to do. In my mind, I see these disciples as the perfect combination of the chicken lady and the young king of the espresso machine barista. They have a very healthy sense of who they were. And I can hear the disciples talking as they went from village to village saying, "I'm responsible for this task. I've been given the authority to do it, and I will do it well. At this moment in time, it is my calling, my destiny, and what I do will be excellent." Despite the lack of material assets we might consider essential for such an undertaking, they are successful, casting out demons and curing many of the sick, and a ministry powered in powerlessness turns out to be powerful. This is truly the ministry of Jesus Christ. A ministry fueled not by power we possess in the world and in the church, but rather a ministry fueled by the Spirit. The Spirit that calls us, reminding us that our ministry is the ministry of Jesus Christ. We have been given the authority to minister to one another, minister with love, compassion, holiness, potions of water, broken bread and wine, even minister with our ability to cast out demons. In July of 2006, I was minister at Rundle United in Banff. On Sunday morning, I went over to the church and glanced at the small binder we kept by the bulletins, and each week we had a new page ready on which folks were encouraged to record their prayer request, their joys, and their concerns. And before leaving church the previous week, Sunday, someone, perhaps knowing they would not be there for the next week, flipped the page over to the next week and wrote the following, perhaps to ensure it would not be missed for the weekly service. Before I read what was written, it's important to know that on that weekend of July 9th, 2006, of the previous year, early in the morning, a young female service worker was brutally and repeatedly raped and left for dead along the river, just 2 blocks from the church. At dawn, she was found unconscious and near death. 1 year later, she remained unconscious, and the attacker, a repeat offender, was arrested, pled guilty, and was awaiting his sentence, pending a dangerous offender hearing. If declared a dangerous offender, he would be sentenced to an indeterminate amount of time in jail, perhaps for the rest of his life. With that background knowledge, let's hear what was written in that prayer request book 1 year later. May we pray for the young woman who was so brutally had her life stolen from her 1 year ago in our town, for her family and friends, for the caregivers who watch over her. And for the man who committed the crime, may he find peace and experience our forgiveness. May he find peace and experience forgiveness. The prayer request that I read that morning contains much of Jesus serving at right speech to his disciples. It reminds us of the authority bestowed upon us, an authority to minister with our ability to cast out demons, to seek reconciliation and justice. The prayer request reminds us that in times of powerlessness, we still possess great power to heal through our actions and our prayers. It is the power of one. It reminds us that if we have faith to believe the power of God is at work in us and through us, we too can love like Jesus. Our call as followers of Jesus, as those sent with power and authority that we derive from him, our call is to do the same, to heal, to attack the demons that plague our society and the world that God loves, to share the good news. We too can minister with love and compassion and to boldly declare, I am responsible for this job. I've been given the authority to do it, and I will do it well. At this moment in time, this is my calling, my destiny. To love like Jesus. By the grace of God, may it be so for each of us and for our community. Amen.
It is my honor and privilege to pray the prayers of the people with you this week. Let's pray. God calls us to be a praying people. Let us join in prayer, offering our praise, thanksgivings, and intercessions to God. In our prayers, let us give thanks for the gifts of God and pray for those who work in God's vineyard, saying, "We give you thanks, blessed Spirit, for the bounty of the earth, for the goodness within the human heart, for power to change, and the will to learn. Let us give thanks. We give you thanks, blessed Spirit, for all those who work for healing, for people in the caring ministries, for ecologists and researchers, for pastoral care workers and friends, for the hands of Christ in the world, for others we may wish to name aloud or in our hearts. Let us give thanks. We give you thanks, blessed Spirit, for all those who learn and teach, for apprentices and supervisors, for students and resource people, for program directors and camp leaders, for schools and educators, for wisdom and knowledge and guidance, let us give thanks. We give you thanks, blessed Spirit, for those who struggle for liberation and justice, for the witness of base communities, for mission and development workers, for those who labor in rescue and help agencies, for those who risk their lives for others, for those who work for human rights, for those who speak truth on behalf of the oppressed, for all who bear witness to the way of Christ, let us give thanks. We give you thanks, blessed Spirit. And please pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught his friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Thank you for all the ways that you contribute to the work of God here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me the offertory prayer over all the gifts that have been given this week? God of mercy, when what we offer seems small, help us remember we are part of something larger. Help us remember that every gesture of kindness and generosity magnifies love's reach. Amen.
As we prepare to go out into the world, let us hear these words of blessing. May your life be a river. May you flow with the purpose of the one who created and called you, who directs your course and turns you ever toward home. May your way shine with the light of Christ, who goes with you, who bears you up, who calls you by name. May you move with the grace of the Spirit, who brooded over the face of the waters at the beginning and who will gather you in at the end. Go be the person you're called to be. Love wildly, do justice, help turn the world right side up, and come back soon.